Hello, you're listening to Confess Radio, brought to you by Confess Global Community Film Festival.
Today, we have Abby Osoba. She is with an organization that she founded called Black Girls Ignite Africa. Hello, Abby.
Hello, Sunny.
Abby, can you tell me, first of all, a bit about Black Girls Ignite Africa?
Thank you, Sandy. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Black Girls Ignite Africa is actually a name that's bearing its cause. We're more like a movement. And we're commonly referred to as BGIA. And we're actually a non-for-profit, international non-for-profit, set up for the empowerment, healthy celebration, and development of young girls and women in Africa. So basically, we're working to help the young girl and the woman in Africa, Ignite Africa.
How do you go about that?
So we go about that through many programs and projects that we have. So we have two programs, namely She Ignites, She Inspires. It's a mentoring program that actually helps to mentor the young girl and young woman in many aspects of life, career, business, and school. And we also have the other one, which is our Business Enterprise Network, which is our micro enterprise that actually equips the young girl and the woman in Africa, teaches them the ABCs of business, allows them to understand business, running a business, how to profit and how to sustain it, and using that information and that business to actually enlighten their community and make it better.
Where did this idea come from?
It was an idea that I had for a while, and basically it was more from the thoughts that I've always had about giving people and helping people have more opportunities in life, because the difference, the common denominator, like the difference that really sets people apart in North America or any part of the world or even in Africa, is the opportunities that people have. That's just what makes the huge difference and what people do with that opportunity. But first of all, do they have the opportunity? So BGIA, what I set up was mainly to help young girls and women in Africa really find that opportunity, you know, give them that opportunity, help people give them that opportunity that they need to actually turn their life around and make a change.
Now, you say this is more or less like a mentorship program.
Yes.
And where do you get your mentors?
We get our mentors from all over the world. So BGIA right now is in 8 countries. So we're in the UK, US, Canada, Nigeria, Tanzania, Ghana, Kenya, the UAE, hopefully South Africa before the end of the year. And we work with our team members in those locations, in those regions. And from there, we're able to work into the communities there and identify mentors. So mentoring is one of the many ways that we reach out to the women. We have other projects, maybe feeding projects, schooling projects, entrepreneurship projects that actually also helps to equip these women.
How are you funded?
We're funded first and foremost by the volunteers and members that are in the organization, and also through our fundraising events and other things that we put together from time to time. You know, we just even wrapped up our SISI event, She Ignites, She Inspires event, which was held in New York, and it was a fundraiser just for many programs as well.
Mention that other program.
She Summit. It's a week-long Women's Week event in New York, and BGIA was invited to be an event organizer. So we were able to run our program, our mentoring program, She Ignites, She Inspires, during the She Summit in New York just last week.
How is that related to Black Girls Ignite Africa?
It's related because it's an opportunity to network with women. So we want to recruit and help and network with as many women all across the world as possible, and give them that information that we all hands are needed on deck to actually help the young girl and black woman ignite Africa in Africa.
She Inspires and She Ignites is a partnership, is that right?
It's our mentoring program.
It's your mentoring program.
Yes.
And which came first, BGIA or She Inspires, She Ignites?
BGIA came first. Once BGIA was birthed, then we identified many programs and the vehicles to which we could actually use to carry out our vision and our mission.
Right. And how do you go about utilizing or getting your mentorship? your mentorship, people were mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
You say you go through the communities.
Yes.
And how do they find out about you, or do you find out about them?
Excellent question, Sandy. So what we do, like I mentioned earlier on, we have team members who are in all these regions. So say, for example, if we just use Toronto as an example. So what we do is we go on a search for mentors, people who have a story to tell, who have stood out in maybe in their career or in their business or, you know, in different works of life, and we approach them and we propose to them our mentorship program. We have never been turned down, fortunately, and we usually always have mentees because we are always working with different groups within the local community. So we always identify mentees, so we always have them. So most of the work we do is identifying and matching mentors for our mentees that we already have in our database.
Oh, so you have a database?
Yes.
You acquire this database through different directories?
No, just relating to people, you know, talking to them about, you know, how they want to, you know, just get empowered in life, you know, being friends with somebody, and then from there, you know, you get started, you start to talk to them and you realize that they have a gap in their life and everyone always is looking for something more. So through all of that, we are able to onboard them as a mentee for BGIA, and then we put them into our program, and then we start to look for a mentor, and then we're able to match them with a mentor. And this same example that I'm giving to you for Toronto is happening in all the locations that we have BGIA.
Tell me a bit more about the one in Toronto.
The one in Toronto, I mean, is here mainly because I'm here. I'm based in Toronto. And it's growing, it's small. It's actually even smaller than our network in the U.S. as well as in other countries in Africa. However, that's due to the fact that I need to do more work on building that network. We have a strong membership and volunteer force outside of the country. My attention, you know, is drawn by all of that. However, I'm beginning to put some things in place before the end of the year to make sure that that's increased.
So you're focusing on young black girls, is that correct?
And older women.
And older women.
Yes.
So are you linking the older women with the younger girls?
Yes.
So it's like an intergenerational link?
That's correct. And also, sometimes you find young girls, 22, 23, who also have a story, who've made a mark in life. So sometimes the matching could also be a 23-year-old girl talking to another 22-year-old girl and getting inspired.
You have to tell me again, how would you find this mentor? Is it just coming, is it through the course of you traveling around the city that you speak to people and you kind of come across that individual?
Yes, that inclusive going on the internet as well, talking to, you know, friends and family, you know, on identifying businesses, success stories. So we actually do a thorough search. We actually just look for them, not... walking around the street is one, but there's a lot of work that's involved.
Right.
You know, you have to Google, maybe you've heard a story, maybe on the television, and then you just say, oh, I think that person would be a good mentor for our next event or our next mentoring program, and then we try to reach out to them.
There's some other ways I can think of. What about if you're going on the government website when they have all these different community organizations? Have you considered looking at those?
No, not at all.
Well, there are a number of government organizations or government directories, and through that government directory is a list of all these community organizations where you can find mentors as well as mentees. I can't think off the top of my head right now,
mm-hmm.
but I think after this I'll send you a couple of links.
Okay, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Just never thought about that.
So how long has this been in place, this BGIA?
BGIA was founded in December 2011. And the actual work started April last year, April 2012. So we usually say we've been just a little over a year shy doing all the work we've been doing so far.
And when you say we, you were actually the one with the idea, the concept. Do you have others that are working with you right now with
yes.
the same commitment?
Yes. So I shared the vision. I got to meet with a group of women, which usually happens from time to time. And so far, the organization has 40-plus active volunteers working in the different countries, playing different roles and wearing different hats, holding different positions. And we have almost 200 member volunteers as well.
So this is all completely volunteer-run?
All volunteers.
So people are taking their time out to go and mentor somebody else who's in need.
Yes.
Right.
So the other aspects of BGIA, which I mentioned, the project, so going on into the field and helping the people, as well as organizing the events to actually raise the funds. So those are the three main aspects. So we have the people working in these three categories to actually, you know, make sure that the organization is running in the full capacity as it should.
And how do you oversee this?
It's very challenging. It's working so far. The social media has been helpful, and using the internet phone calls to actually have our meetings on a very regular basis. And sometimes I've had to, you know, go to those countries myself to meet with the team members after such a long time. You know, it's always helpful to meet with a visionaire, and it always just helps to strengthen the vision once I do that.
So do you have like a board of directors?
Yes, we do have board of directors, and we're registered in each country differently. So we go by the rules and regulations, the laws guiding that country, so each setup is different.
What other ways are you trying to promote BGIA?
Currently, we use the social media. We're very active on it. We also reach out to radio stations, a couple of interviews, newspapers, online newspapers, and some magazines. We're looking to expand on that, but so far that's all we've done.
Tell me about some of the other projects you're working on right now.
Okay, I always love talking about our school building project. It's at Elekuru in Nigeria, and we're also going to be building a resource center. And this village actually doesn't have a school, and the kids walk 2 hours just to go to school and convene under a bamboo tree. And now it's rainy season in that part of the country, and the kids won't go to school for months. So we partnered with a local organization called Living Star Mission, and we are going to be building a school.
Can you just repeat that organization again?
Living Star Missions.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a local charity organization located in Oyo State in Nigeria. So we are working with them. We are at the stage right now of building a blueprint, designing the school, and making sure that it meets the full standard of education in Nigeria as a country. And the intent is to actually provide full standard education for those young children and help their mothers get business going as well. So the resource center will provide for training and business sustainability for the mothers while the children are in school. And that in turn would actually ignite that community. So we're really looking forward to that, because that would bring a huge transformation to that community.
So this resource center is much like a community center here in the city.
Exactly.
And it has various programs that these young girls can come
exactly.
and partake in, and they can be tutored, mentored, and given life instructions.
Exactly. So they can also do business training, so vocational training. They can learn to sew, they can learn to bake, they can learn to knit, you know, they can just learn to do all kinds of things. And once they're able to stand on their 2 feet, you know, we actually have supporters who will be willing to do that for us, who have signed up to do that for us once the resource center is ready. And once they're educated enough in those various areas, they would actually start a sustainable business in that community.
And this resource center, what does it cost to build something like that or put it together?
The school and the resource center, we have a rough estimated budget of $200,000.
That's US or Canadian?
US dollars.
So there isn't much difference anymore. And so that's the budget.
That's the budget.
Have you raised the money for it?
We have raised a tiny weeny bit of that. We have a lot of programs and plans in place between now and the next 18 months. End of next year, to have fully raised all that money and fully completed that school.
Are you looking for donations?
Sure, we are always looking for donations. If you go on our Facebook page, we're talking about nothing else except this main project, because this is our main focus for the next little while. And we also have an upcoming event in October. It's a week long, and that's our big event fundraiser for the organization for this year. And we're hoping to, you know, if not raise more than half of the money, at least a huge chunk of that money to help us kick off this school project and resource center.
Do you have a website?
We do have a website.
And can people go to that website and get the information?
Sure. And it's www.blackgirlsigniteafrica.com.
Great. Are there any other programs you want to talk about?
We have back-to-school programs where we help kids get back to school with back-to-school supplies. Another thing that's new for us, we saw the program with Cadbury, is maybe we can help kids get bicycles so they can get bicycles to go to school rather than walking hours, 2 hours to go and 2 hours to come back. So we also do some other support programs for other schools. So we help them to transform their school with school uniform supplies or building supplies or even just general school supplies. And the last one we do is a health initiative for children, because children can never get enough health care. So we work with local medical organizations to actually provide awareness and free medical supplies for children in different health areas.
Tell me a bit more about the bicycle program with Cadbury. Did you get in touch with Cadbury, or did they get in touch with you?
Not yet. We've seen the idea with Cadbury. We're looking to contact Cadbury soon. In the meantime, we want to also start something small on our own, pending the time a relationship will be built with Cadbury, because Cadbury right now is doing that in Africa. It's something new that they have started, and they're giving kids bicycles to go to school.
So you do want to work with them?
Exactly.
The reason I ask is because, not this year, but last year, the filmmaker who created that film for the bicycle program submitted the film to Confest. So we screened it for the neighborhood kids, for the kids in the neighborhood school.
Oh, wow.
So it's very coincidental. I'll try and get you in touch with the filmmaker who will be able to get you in touch with those people.
That'll be awesome. Yeah. That'll be awesome. I know we have a good case with a school in Elekuru. That would be a very good beneficiary for that program.
Now we've heard a fair bit about the program or programs that have been derived from BGIA. Tell me about the successes.
Oh, well, we've had quite a few successes. We're hoping to have more. One of them is being able to provide food and some information that helped the community in Eldoret in Kenya. That was last year. We also helped to put some smiles on the faces of children in an orphanage or home. We're able to help with Christmas party support in Kenya and Nigeria as well. There's an organization there. One of the other successes we've had is that our mentoring program has actually helped to put some young girls in about 5 countries where we currently are, put them in the right path. So we have testimonials from them about, you know, how BGIA has made a huge impact in their life and how they'll be putting all of that information to good use. Other testimonials that we have in Tanzania is the Women's Fund of Tanzania, helping the women get an awareness with regards to funding for business. So we worked with a local organization and the media to actually get that information, that awareness out there. Some of our other successes has been the support that we've given a group of widows in one of the cities, the main cities in Nigeria called Abuja. We're able to provide them with a makeover and information as well that they can hold on to, that, you know, help them to be sustained for quite a long time.
These widows in Nigeria, are they a result of the war that was taking place there?
No, this particular group is a result of just many, you know, challenges in life. You know, husband passing away, either sickness or accident or something or the other. And this organization actually pulls the women together and tries to equip them, works with them, helping them go through grief, getting back on their 2 feet, and getting them into something sustainable.
Now, some of these recipients of BGIA, they have gone into businesses for themselves?
Not yet through BGIA, because our micro-enterprise program is going to be kicked off in the next 3 months. However, we have been supportive through other partners of ours, so through other supporting non-for-profits that we partner with at a local level, so we work through them. However, our own micro-enterprise program, which is solid built to actually hold hands with a young girl and a woman from start to finish, would actually help to achieve that goal. Our beneficiaries are actually the young girl and the woman at the grassroots level in the village, And also the everyday woman, you know, like you and like me, who are in the city, you know, in different parts of the world.
So this micro enterprise mm-hmm. that you have available, mm-hmm. these women are able to get funds through the BGIA program.
Exactly.
How much is a loan? Is it a loan?
It's a loan.
And how do they pay back?
Okay, so we have a maximum loan, initial maximum loan of just $50, $50 US. And within that program, they're able to pay back. Because what we found, the gaps and the lapses we found in other similar programs is that there is no sustainability. The people don't go through enough training. So we have local experts who will be working with these women to actually help them understand the ABCs of business, help them understand how to profit. Now, these loans are interest-free loans because they have to be, and that's the only way they can succeed. And they wouldn't fail. So we help them to manage that money into the business, work it into the business, help them to manage their profit, and help them to really sort of like manage cash flow, profiting, and sustainability for a period of time. And then we release them out of the program.
So you say the micro loan is something like $50.
Yes.
What can $50 get them?
Oh, $50 can do a lot. Once you do a conversion for the many different countries in Africa, $50 is actually a lot. So that's the initial loan they get. And that's after a mini business plan has been put in place by working with the experts that we have on ground and the local experts that we have. Now, once the $50, what the $50 does is actually help them to set up. Okay, and help them to understand what it is that they're actually doing, and then they get hands-on and they get engaged in it. There's a second phase. The second phase now, the amount could range from, you know, $100 or even as high as $200. But however, we have our cap into this amount because we don't believe in just, you know, it's not that doing business isn't just about throwing in capital. It's really understanding how that business needs to be sustained and, you know, the profit needs to be made. So there's a process that's you know, involved in our program. And once we understand and we can actually see the results working with these women, then they're actually able to move to a higher phase of our program that allows them to hold more funds.
Give me an idea of what a typical business.
I can give you many examples. Bicycle rental is a very profiting business. Farming. Is another very profiting business. Initially, the people could rent a land, okay, and then farm on it. However, our goal at the end of that program will be that they would be able to own their own land, their own piece of land, and continue farming.
And the produce or the yield from that farm, do they take it to market and they sell the product?
Yes, there's usually a central market in the communities, or a central market in a community nearby, so they get engaged in that. And usually that's what happens in all these communities in Africa. They do a lot of interrelationship, inter-exchanging type of business, whereby I'm buying maize from you and you're always buying peas from me type of business.
Take us through the business of bicycle renting from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
They come to you with an idea,
mm-hmm.
is that correct?
Yes.
And you in turn teach them how to put a business plan together.
Mm-hmm.
Is that before they get the $50?
Yes. So they have to understand, as I mentioned before, the ABCs of business. What is business? What is profiting? What is sustaining a business? Once they go through those classes, then they go through a class whereby they are able to understand a simple business plan, not the business plans that we write in this part of the world. We're looking at a two-pager that just spells out their commitment in the business and what their understanding, and their understanding in the BGIA program. And what the $50 does is actually to allow them to acquire, it could be to acquire one or two bicycles initially and just have a pilot testing of the business, seeing if it really makes sense and if it's really what they want. You know, the same challenges that we all face in as individuals here in this part of the world is the same that any human being would face. You know, sometimes you want to do a certain business because of a friend or a family, or maybe because you just think that it would work. And then there's always business failures and risk and so many other things that we always want to account for them as well and make them understand. So we always try to go with a very low-risk business setup program with these individuals, with these women.
And what are the other successes in terms of business?
In terms of business, some of the other successes that we have is being able to actually supply some of the women in the village that we want to build a school with. So we've been able to supply them with food and materials, you know, just so that we can start to build a relationship with them and a trust level whereby they will be willing to work with our organization and see us as people who are interested in their success.
And what about clothing, for example? Do they want to make clothes?
They want to do everything. They want to make soap. They want to make candles. They want to, you know, make clothing. They want to be. They want. Some of them, they see themselves. They keep telling us, oh, this community can actually support a manufacturer, you know, from anywhere. Yeah, that's how strong they see themselves. So if a manufacturing company could actually believe in them so much and set up a manufacturing plant there, they see themselves as being workers there and helping that organization.
Would it be like one manufacturing plant that serves for many different little businesses?
Could be, or just the same, just for that one business. Whichever one doesn't really matter. What these women want to do is get busy. They want to get their hands busy. They want to work. They want to make profit. They want to change their community. And because the community they're currently living in right now, there is no light, no water. There is no means of communication or transportation.
So these communities are really the rural parts of those countries.
Very rural.
Very rural.
Parts, yeah.
You eventually would like to get a manufacturing plant in some of these communities.
Correct.
What is your plan to have that happen? What's your goal?
It's a 3 to 5 year goal right now within our strategic plan at BGIA, and we're hoping that we could work with an organization who maybe wants to make diapers tomorrow in Africa. You know how people go to China for cheap labor,
right,
and the rest of it. We're hoping that Africa can also be seen in that light, and many entrepreneurs and investors would actually come and set up a manufacturing facility in these rural areas. You know, it's a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. Both the people living in the community and the organizations will benefit because electricity will come in there, water would come in there, you know, people, you know, it will just become enterprising and the people will just not be born to live and die. They will actually be born to fulfill a dream or a purpose, you know, before they die. And hopefully we're hoping that BGI could be part of that change in this community.
Have you identified any organizations or manufacturers that you could approach?
We've identified some local ones in those countries, so identified some local manufacturers in Nigeria as well as in Kenya. We've also identified some manufacturers even in Canada here and in the U.S. So it's going to be a lot of work, but it's something that we're willing to put ourselves into.
These manufacturers that currently exist in Nigeria and Kenya, are they African manufacturers or are they from overseas like China and India?
Some of them are, and some of them are overseas as well. The ones we've identified, they have a combination of both.
And what are the challenges of trying to get them to go into the rural areas?
The challenges would be always usually the government, you know, the negotiation and the agreements with the government.
Uh-huh.
So we're hoping that, you know, I mean, we're not ignorant of the fact that the government would need to be involved at some level, but we're hoping that through the many programs and the works that we are already doing, we can actually encourage both parties, so these organizations as well as the government, to be interested.
And you've spoken to any of these people yet?
For example, in Nigeria, in that state where we intend to build that school, we've started to speak to the current governor and his political party that are currently ruling that state. We've gotten some interest. Now we need to just push some things and, you know, make some things more identifiable, and then hopefully we can get a working relationship with them.
This is a great undertaking you've begun. It started, 2 years ago? And already you've done so much work. What keeps you going?
What keeps me going is the satisfaction, you know, the testimonials, the smiles from the pictures, you know, working with these people. You know, you just hear very positive feedback each time, knowing that somebody's life has changed, you know, for the good, and that could transcend to many generations. And that's just enough. That's just very fulfilling.
What are the obstacles or challenges you've had from 2011 to now?
Oh, there's been many, ranging from lack of enough funding, resources to work with you per time, not getting enough commitment from different partners and support from the government. And, you know, these are not new things. These are things that probably will always be there. However, I guess the passion, the drive, seeing that this is actually a possibility in the future, that keeps me going.
Are you familiar with any of the Canadian government bodies here that fund overseas or projects?
We have one of our volunteers who is going to be doing some research work for us. And once she gets started, she will be able to, you know, get us more informed as to the right places to go, because usually you want to approach the right organization and make sure that you have your information completed as well. So, you know, I always like to, you know, cross my T's and dot my I's. So that's something that's a work in progress right now for us.
Well, I do know of one Canadian organization. It's called CEDA. Are you familiar with that?
I've heard of CEDA.
It's a Canadian International Development Agency. I believe that's what the acronym is.
I think
and
so.
They tend to take on these projects. And they're in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a step in that direction.
That's right.
And find out. And if not, they will give you guidance to other organizations that do this kind
mm-hmm.
of work.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, Abby, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much.
I really admire the work you've done, the commitment and the drive and what it takes to do this. Do you do this year-round, 24 hours a day practically?
Practically.
That is definitely commitment and compassion. Well, I can see us probably partnering some way at some time. We'll discuss that later on.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I just want to say thank you for coming down.
Thank you for having me.
And let our listeners know more about you. And can you just give us a website once more?
It's www.blackgirlsigniteafrica.com. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter.
Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you, Sadie. Thank you for having me.
Great. You've been listening to Confess Radio, brought to you by Confess Global Community Film Festival. For more information about our festival, please go to confess.com, that's CommFFEST.com. And our festival takes place again this year in the St. Lawrence Market neighborhood, September 12th to the 15th. Thank you for listening.